So what if my client wants to contribute assets instead of distributing and contributing cash? Well, for asset contributions, the rules are a little bit different. If you're contributing to what we call a 50% charity, your AGI limitation is really 30% instead of 50%. If you're contributing to a 30% charity, you really only get 20% instead of 30%. So there's some reduced caps when you're contributing assets. For contributions to private foundations, if you're contributing stuff, your deduction is limited to lesser of fair market value or basis. So your client comes in and says, yeah, my multi-million dollar closely held business, I've started it on a shoestring, I invested $1,000 11 years ago, now it's worth tens of millions of dollars, I want to contribute some of that stock. You say, contribute 20% of your stock, you'll get a $200 deduction to your private foundation because your deduction is limited to your lesser of fair market value or basis. If the stock is publicly traded, there's a special rule. Publicly traded securities are eligible for full fair market value deduction. And that's a huge, huge thing. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit because it really gives your clients an opportunity to do something rare in the tax world, which is get a tax benefit without any tax recognition in the front end. Your client says, I want to contribute my yacht. And you say, well, that's great. Are you contributing it to a yacht museum? And they're going to keep the yacht and display it? That's great. You'll get a full fair market value deduction. But if you're contributing your yacht to the opera, unless they're putting on a production where they can use the yacht, they're going to sell the yacht. If the asset contributed is not related to the organization's exempt function, then your deduction is generally limited to basis and not a full fair market value deduction, actually lower of fair market value or basis. You yacht owners know that your basis may actually be higher than fair market value. It's the lesser of. If you want to contribute ordinary income property, and actually ordinary income property basically means anything that if you sell, you don't get long-term capital gain treatment. Well, that means short-term capital gain treatment falls in this category. And again, your deduction is limited to basis. Let's see. The very important substantiation requirements. What records do I have to keep? And the answer is, it's every lawyer's favorite answer. It depends. It depends on really the value of the contribution. And the outline walks through the substantiation requirements in quite a bit of detail and cites some cases in the footnotes on page 5 and 6 where a foot fault on substantiation causes just horrifically bad results. And the taxpayers go, you know what, I'm doing something good. I'm benefiting charity. And I've done everything I was supposed to do, and this is a technical little silly fault where I just stubbed my toe. And the courts have routinely said deductions are a matter of legislative grace. And to get the deduction, you have to follow the rules. And these are the rules, and you didn't do it, and you lose. There is very little close enough for jazz in the substantiation world. If your client's dropping money into a collection plate, they're supposed to have a written record if the contribution is less than $250. Well, that means they could have a little notepad that they carry around, and every time they put some money in a bell ringer's pail, they could say, November 30th, dollar Salvation Army. That would be fine. It doesn't have to be provided by the charity. It doesn't have to be anything formal or fancy. It doesn't have to be a receipt. It just has to be a written record. A canceled check often works just fine. If it's $250 or more, now you do have to have a receipt from the charity. And that receipt has to have two things. It has to tell how much you gave, and it has to say what you got in return. So if you drop $400 worth of clothes off at Goodwill, and they give you a receipt, they don't have write anything on it, they're not going to tell you how much your clothes are worth. Unless that receipt printed at the bottom says, and you didn't receive anything in exchange for this, it doesn't qualify. It's not adequate substantiation unless it specifies both the amount of the donation and whether the donor received any benefit in exchange for the donation. If it's between $500 and $5,000, there's an IRS form you have to attach to the return. If there are non-cash contributions, and you have to maintain written records. If it's over $5,000, if it's a non-cash contribution and not marketable securities, you have to have an appraisal. It has to be a qualified appraisal, and the regulations spell out the rules for those requirements for those appraisals. Notice that you just have to have one. You don't have to attach it to your tax return unless your gift is more than $500,000. At that point in time, the IRS not only wants you to have an appraisal, they want to see the appraisal. There are these situations out there where the donor made a conservation easement, he got an appraisal, attached it to his tax return, the appraiser didn't fulfill all the requirements of a qualified appraisal, deduction is denied. So these substantiation requirements are important when your donors are making substantial gifts.